Chapter 84. Joe Breen should have left Scottsdale for parts unknown after Mike called him and warned him he was burnt. That Mike used a phone at all should have let Joe know how bad things were.
My guy in a Boston PD says your picture's all over the freaking place. They're looking for you on some stupid assault charge in Paradise. But my guy says it don't smell right. They must have figured out you did the girl. You tell me where you land at, and I'll wire you money.
But Joe Breen hadn't run. Running wasn't in his nature. But that wasn't the issue. It wasn't even that his split kit, $100,000 in cash, a fake passport, driver's license, a knife, and the Glock, was in a self-storage locker in Newton. It was Moira. He couldn't walk out on her without an explanation, or without asking her to come with him. Art was something you could do anywhere. And so was love. He knew he had some time, that it would take the cops a while to find his house because he hadn't bought it in his name. So instead of heading north, south, or west from Scottsdale, Joe Breen headed back to Boston.
Moira, Moira, he called to her as he came through the front door. Come on, we've got to talk.
But there was no answer.
Come on, Moira, I know you've no classes this late.
When there was still no answer, he went looking for her in the kitchen. If she'd left a note about shopping, it would be there. As he approached the kitchen, something told him to slow down. Whether it was an unfamiliar smell or the nature of the quiet, he couldn't say. He looked at the decorative mirror another art school girl had made for him that hung on the wall facing the kitchen. What he saw in the glass was Moira, the left arm of a nerdy-looking bastard wrapped around her throat, and the muzzle of a Sig Sauer pressed to her temple. He could have turned and been out of the house in a few seconds, but if he hadn't run from Scottsdale, he wouldn't run now. He put his arms in the air and stepped slowly into the kitchen. Moira's eyes were wide with fear, and when he appeared in the kitchen, tears began running down her cheeks. She shook her head as much as she dared.
"Run, Joe, run!"
Her voice was choked and cracked. Mr. Peepers said,
"He won't run."
"You're right, I won't. You'd be Salter's man, then."
"Something like that," Peepers said.
"Then you're here to extract payment."
"Same answer."
Now there was an added look of confusion in Moira's expression. She said,
"What are you talking about?"
Neither man responded.
"Well, the girl hasn't run a tab," Joe said. "She's done nothing wrong."
"Wrong place, wrong time. Keeps the wrong company. She's done a lot of wrong," Peepers said. "Easy way or the hard way? The harder it is for you, the easier for her."
"Let's talk deal."
Mr. Peepers smiled. He liked this part. When they bargained. It always started with bargaining. Eventually, they'd get to begging. Then praying for death. He liked that part best of all.
"I'm listening."
"To start, there's a key to my locker in Newton. $100,000. But money won't be enough for you."
"No," Joe said.
"You enjoy your work. So, name your price."
"Would you slit your own throat to save her?"
"In a way, I've already slit my own throat."
Peepers didn't like that answer and squeezed harder on Moira's neck so that she was choking.
"Stop it," Joe said. "Yes, I'd slit my own throat gladly if you'll let her walk out of here."
"Too easy,"
Peepers relaxed his hold on her neck.
"Let me put it to you like this then," Joe said. "I'm good at this myself, you know, and I've got a lot to answer for. I can force you to make it quick for the both of us. If I rushed you now, from this close, you'd have to put one in my head or risk me getting to you. Believe me, I'll take a lot of killing, certainly more than one 9mm. I think you know that. More than one shot up here, and you risk my neighbors hearing the shots. You'd have to do her quick or drag her out of here. Or you can let her go and take your time with me. You let her go. Once I know she's safe, you can have your way with me."
"How do I know you won't run?"
Joe said, "Name it."
Mr. Peepers nodded at the knife block on the kitchen counter.
Take the chef's knife and cut your Achilles tendon.
Which one?
Both.
Moira let out a muffled scream. Peepers squeezed her neck again. Moira, don't fight him, Joe said. I've got to answer for my sins. I've killed people for insults and money. I've killed people on the word of others. You'll be the better without me. Please let me do this for you. Joe put his arms down, slowly removed the chef's knife from the block, and placed a folded dish towel in his mouth. He sat down on a kitchen chair, rolled up his left pants leg, and rolled down his sock. He put the blade to the taut skin at the back of his leg.
No deal, Peepers said. The second she gets through the door, she'll scream her head off, and the cops will be here in 2 minutes. We can't have that. Cut the tendon, and I promise to do her quickly. You'll have to watch it, but it's all I'm offering. Clock's running. Tick, tick, tick.
Joe leapt forward out of the chair. Almost before his body straightened, he felt the burn and tear of the bullet. But his momentum carried him into Moira and Peepers. Peepers' chokehold on Moira's neck released as he reflexively threw that arm behind him. Moira was knocked to the side as they all landed. Peepers let out a grunt, the tear in his shoulder from where the cop had hit him opening up. Blood soaked through the dressing, then his shirt and jacket. But he was good at his job and kept firing the SIG into Joe's body. Run, Joe screamed. Run! He heard her feet on the tile floor, and just before he took his last breath, he realized that redemption sounded like a slamming kitchen door.